And thank you for joining us today on the next episode of this podcast series, The Benefits of Using Third-Party Experts and Professionals in Your Divorce. So today I'm joined by Sam Gibson from Brewin Dolphin, who is a chartered financial planner. So she's going to tell us today how she can assist our divorce and finance clients, and also those who are in a relationship, not married, but going through a separation. So welcome, Sam.
Hi, Sophie.
Thank you for joining me. So I think it would be best to start off by just explaining to everyone what your job role is.
So I work in the Newcastle Brewin Dolphin office as a chartered financial planner. I've been in the industry a long time, so about 20 years. My job is to deal with a wide range of clients. So I can deal with anybody from someone who is about to retire and needs an income, needs something to live on in their retirement, lottery winners, people who have excessive tax bills, divorce clients more commonly and recently, sadly. We've also had quite a lot lately of younger clients coming in who have been looking to sell a company, who's obviously done quite well. So there is literally not really a client that we don't have opportunities to speak to. We're very lucky, obviously, in this area as well. There is a lot of different types of clients, different types of companies, different pension schemes. So yeah, there's a big range of people we can speak to.
Great. I think from just speaking to my clients and people who maybe have more modest assets may think that they won't benefit from having a financial planner. So what would kind of be your advice to them? Is there kind of a limit of how much you need to have in the bank before you would go and see a financial planner? What do you usually advise those sorts of clients?
I think that's always a lot of people's worry, is that they think I'm not rich enough to speak with a financial advisor, which is crazy, because the whole point of a financial advisor is to try and build your wealth to the level of where you might not necessarily need so much ongoing financial advice. So yes, it is easier to give advice when you have a lump sum of money, but the majority of people, especially when you're younger, it's about saving up and building your retirement pot and protecting that money as well. So obviously everybody's aware of inflation and how bad that is at the moment and how that's expected to get much worse over the next couple of years. So it's not just about building that pot of money, but protecting the real value of that money as well. And that's the kind of things that we would look at. And also other things such as when people have younger families, making sure that they've got provisions in place so that to cover things like school fees, and that'll come under the forms of protection and savings plans and things, and loads of different things that we can put in place. So there's definitely not just a one size fits all solution to financial advice.
Okay, great. So obviously you've talked about loads of different types of clients, you know, lottery winners and all these, which are more niche. Yeah. Do you yourself have kind of an average client base that you kind of have fallen into that you spend more time with, or is it quite varied?
It's really very varied. I think I'm quite fortunate in that I've done this job for a long time. I've been in the industry for 20 years. I've been a financial advisor for 15 years. So I've got to a point now where I know kind of what I really enjoy dealing with. So I do have a lot of clients that are general investment clients looking for ISAs, tax efficient savings, how to build their pension pots for when they retire. And that tends to be more of the mainstream clientele. But I've kind of have the ability now to focus on more specific areas of advice, which I really enjoy. And that's things such as, I don't enjoy divorces, but I feel like I can really add a lot more value to things like this. It's obviously lovely to increase people's wealth, make people have financial stability, but it is really rewarding when you can take the stress and the pressure of people who are going through a really hard time and a divorce, as you know, is, no, you don't know because you're not divorced, but it is one of the worst things you can go through in your life. So obviously you want to make people's journey through that as seamless as possible.
Definitely. And this is what this podcast is all about. So trying to encourage people to have a team around them, because the more support, the better, really. Right. And lawyers can't provide that financial advice. So it's really important that we get all of these third parties involved who can really provide that advice where it's needed. So just touching on that specifically then, so how we'll kind of combine the two. So how can you help clients who are going through a divorce or separation? And when do you think is kind of the best time for you to get involved?
So we can definitely help with divorce or separation, because we can not only look at it from a completely non-emotional point of view, as you'd be exactly the same, but we have a lot of experience in the area as well. So we can look at all of the different types of assets that a client has, such as a property, a pension, income assets, lump sum assets, and we can make it so it's a really fair way to separate those. We can look at it on a very factual basis, and we can really be a sounding board for clients. So we can definitely help clients going through the process if they just want someone to speak to, if they have a question that they might not feel they want to bother their solicitor about. And we seem to be a lot more of a kind of handholder for the long term. So where you're, as a solicitor, you'll deal with the divorce itself. We will kind of be there throughout the divorce process, and then we'll take them on for years and years to come to make sure that whatever settlement has came about, it's in the right place and it's managed on a long-term basis. So it's more of a really long-term relationship that we're looking to build. So we want to be able to kind of make that as comfortable for them as possible. And we have so much experience in it that we can probably give them an answer to any questions that we've got, mm-hmm. or at least know where to find the answer.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because like you said, when we have the financial order and we get that approved by the court, it's not over. You know, there's still lots of things that we need to implement and make sure everything's going forward. And as much as solicitors there are to assist, like I said before, we can't provide that financial advice. So it's really important to have someone like you on board to be able to, yeah, give them that advice when they need it. So on the back of that, obviously us as family lawyers, we can only deal with one side of the divorce. So we would only deal with one party because of a conflict of interest, potentially. If we were acting for both, it just does not work because you can't provide advice to both parties. So in your line of work, how does that work in terms of conflicts of interest? Can you work with both or just one party?
We'd say that we would prefer not to work with both parties when it comes to the financial advice recommendation stage, because we also have a duty of care to our clients to get to, well, obviously for confidentiality reasons, and also we want to get the best for them. So we are going to fight their corner as much as you will fight their corner, and we'll put a case together to say these assets should be split like this, and kind of work with you to do that. So obviously having both of the parties there would be really tricky to do that, but we do find that we can provide an overview sort of early on in the process. So we can look at a kind of a summary of both of the scenarios that we can provide you with that, and then you can use that to help with your analysis and what your recommendations would be for the any asset splits and things, because we can look at it in a bit more of a technical way as well. But when it comes to the formulating the advice proposal at the end of it, I would say we'd stay with one party. Now, that's not to say that we don't have two parties within Brewin Dolphin as a company. We do have a huge office and a lot of very experienced financial planners and investment managers. So it's not uncommon to see that two parties will actually be under one roof. But the way we work in the office is very confidential. So we actually wouldn't necessarily know that another advisor has that other person. So that, I know that that does happen, but it's not something that we would actually share any information on.
Great, thank you. So a biggie in, obviously, when we're dealing with divorces is pensions. And a lot of the time they scare everyone because they're very confusing. There can be all sorts of different types of pensions. And I think people think on the face of it, it looks fairly simple. But when we drill down into it, it can be a lot more complex. And I think it's very important that we get that information to help our clients understand that it's not just as simple that we can kind of offset one kind of asset against a pension. So I know how you can help our clients in relation to that, but can you just explain more specifically about the pensions and what kind of services you can offer in relation to that?
We are pension specialists, so it means we can look at pretty much any type of pension. We've got the ability to analyse all the pensions that are out there. And what it means is that we can look at certain schemes which on the face of it, as you say, might look like a value, say £1 million. But actually, when you look at the benefits attached to that pension, it could actually be worth a lot more money. So the other party may not realise that. And when they put a value on that, they might end up, well, for example, I had a client, I used to work in Scotland, and I had a client I was dealing with who was going through a divorce. One party had a very good pension, and the other party didn't have any pension at all, but they settled on, she ended up with a property worth the same value value as the pension. And she was really happy about this. So the outcome was she was very happy that she ended up with this property and a settlement as well, a small settlement that would pay the bills. And she was, you know, quite comfortable with that. But when I didn't actually come into this until the end when everything was finalized. And when we looked at it, the underlying pension that she basically said she doesn't want any part of because she has this property was actually worth about 3 times the value of the property. But because she was not informed of the information, the solicitor hadn't asked for any kind of financial advice to get any kind of technical information about it, she basically lost out on quite a big sum of money. And the risk is that property won't necessarily be worth that. Mm-hmm. It's stuck in a property, whereas this other person has a pension that is going to go up and up and up and is income for the rest of their life. So these are the things we really want to avoid.
That's great. Okay, so 3 final questions for you then, which we ask everyone who comes onto the podcast. So the first is, what do you love about your job?
Well, I've done the job for so long, so hopefully I do love the job. And I've done this job since I've actually been in financial services since I was 17. So what I've really always enjoyed, whether it's on the phone, face-to-face, although I do prefer face-to-face, is just meeting people and speaking to people and finding out about people. It's probably the only job that you can be really intrusive, but you're allowed to be intrusive and it's for a reason. You're not just being really nosy. I just find it really interesting how people have, especially in this area where it is it's financial advice about different forms of wealth that they've created, and I just find it really interesting how people have achieved so much. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
Good. And why do you think it's important for clients going through a divorce or separation to use your service?
I just think if it was myself and seeing the amount of stressful situations and awful situations that I've seen, I would want to have the best people around me and the most technical, skilled people to get me through it. And I think it's a very lonely time and it can be a really isolating time and very stressful. And you just want to get that burden off you and you want someone to hold your hand through it and get you to the best possible outcome. It might cost you a bit more money, but I think you could lose a lot more if you don't have the right people in place.
So worth it in the long run.
Oh, 100%.
And the final one, which you probably have already touched on, but one piece of advice for someone going through a divorce and separation.
Well, I mean, there's loads of things that could probably, hindsight is great, obviously, but I think the main piece of advice that I would give is to appoint a financial advisor and a solicitor as soon as possible. I would use a financial advisor who may be recommended by a solicitor as well, because you know that they're going to work together really well. But I think you will be so grateful for it in the long run, because you'll get so much more out of the awful experience that you're going through. And I think it will just give you a lot more peace of mind, which at a time like that is really crucial. So just get all your ducks in a row.
Thank you so much. So thank you for joining us today, and we'll provide you with Sam's details just under this recording if you do need any financial advice in the future. So we'll catch you for the next episode next month.
Thank you.